So we've reached the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, where he became Sri Krishna Chaitanya instead of Nimai Pandit. As you came in, you probably heard from the devotee who resides here in Katwa where things are. But as you came in the main gate, just to the right, or looking towards the gate just to our left, is the samadhi of Gadadhar Das, different than Gadadhar Pandit, Gadadhar Das. And if you look closely at the drawing or painting just above his samadhi, you'll see this effulgence coming from him, and the explanation behind that is, it is said that Gadadhar Das is an expansion of Radharani's effulgence. That's pretty good, huh? So his image is effulgent, Radha's effulgence. Behind that samadhi is the samadhi of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair. Because under the tree that's been mercilessly chopped down or cut back because they wanted to put another building in there, that very same tree is the tree where, or the place where, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his head shaved before accepting sannyas by the very famous barber. Barbers generally aren't famous, but the one who cuts Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair became very famous, and his name of all names was Madhu. So there's a little sign there that says what it is, and then as we continue to go that way, there's another archway, and underneath the archway you'll see Tush. One is the shrine or place where Mahaprabhu actually accepted sannyas, where Chandrasekhar Acharya performed the rituals, and Keshava Bharati gave him sannyas initiation. And on either side are the impressions of the feet of Keshava Bharati and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not literally their impressions, but honoring their lotus feet. And in the front, you'll see a little samadhi, a green stone. That's the samadhi of Madhu, the barber. He became very famous. And then the shrine in the backside is the samadhi of Keshava Bharati. And on the altar is a deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of three deities that were personally created or commissioned, or the worship began under the direction of Nadahari Thakur. We'll hear a lot more about Nadahari Thakur when we go to Shrikhand, where he resided, Nadahari and others. So one of those deities, the largest of the three deities, is here, his personally worshipped deity. Another is at Shrikhanda, and another is said to be in Ekachakra. And as you can see, this is a very old temple. Great place for kirtan. Not an easy place to get to from Mayapur, but worth the visit. I learned something on the way. Where's Rukmini? Where is he? He went somewhere. Okay. He was explaining that the name of this, the name Katwa is a corruption or it's a change of the name was. The local people call it Katwa. And the name by which it was written in Chaitanya Bhagavat is the same name as you find written on that little plaque below the tree where the barber cut his hair. And it's a Nagra is at the end, and the first part meant golden, the village of gold. But then Sachi changed the name. It shouldn't be called the place of gold, the place of thorns, because it gives such pain. And so it became that name, the place of thorns. And then the corruption became Katwa. So now everybody knows it as Katwa. Just to show you that the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are so intimately woven within the life of everybody in Gaurami. So we left Navadvip. If you remember from the first day, there are 32 miles in circumference is Navadvip. And Gauramandala is, where Prahlad, you remember? 168. Two times eight is 16. And one times eight is eight. So 168. 21 yojanas, and one yojana is 8 miles. So 8 times 21 is 168. So this is, we are now still within Gauramandala Bhumi, but outside of that Navadvip, where there's 9 islands in the center of 100 that makes up 32 miles in circumference. The description found in the biographies is actually that's a measure that we use on the physical plane, but when one can actually enter on the spiritual plane, the number is much larger. Millions and millions of yojanas. Because the spiritual world is literally unlimited. But to disclose, the Lord disclosing himself and his pastimes, he makes it accessible to us on this plane. So I'd like to describe a little bit of the pastime of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas. There's a parallel description found in Chaitanya Bhagavat, as found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just historically, Vrindavan Das Thakur, we'll hear in detail about him when we go to Mamgachi, one of the days, depending on what weather permits us to do. We'll visit the house of where Vrindavan Das Thakur was born, and he became the first of the biographers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, and he's known as the Vyasadeva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. In other words, just as Vyasadeva wrote about Krishna's, Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And that was the first chronological, and there were then afterwards, just like there are different biographies of Prabhupada's life. Different persons have written their experiences with Srila Prabhupada. That's something that we know contemporary. Someone has this impression, that impression, and the other impression. So you put it all together and there's a big picture of Prabhupada's life. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his departure, there were other authors. When we go to Shikanda, we'll hear about another one of the authors. His name was Lochandas, and he wrote Chaitanya Mangala. And but because some parts of what the prior biographers wrote was not included, especially the later pastimes in Puri, because Vrindavan Das was particularly familiar with the Navadvip pastimes, because he lived in Navadvip and he heard from all of the Navadvip residents about his pastimes in Navadvip. So the later pastimes were included, as well as by Krishnadas Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Prabhupada very kindly translated for us. So there's parallel descriptions of this sannyas event, but the preponderance of information is there in Chaitanya Bhagavat, which, for sake of not surpassing a previous writer or for sake of not having redundancy, he didn't repeat all of what Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote. So what I'm going to be describing here is mostly from Chaitanya Bhagavat. So we'll go back to the time before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to take sannyas, and he's in the mature, having taken initiation from Ishwarapuri and exhibiting even immediately ecstasy and love of God that was unprecedented anywhere in the history of Vaishnavism, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited. So, and that kept increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing, and the ecstasies that he would show in the course of his pastimes were astounding. So there's some description in Chaitanya Bhagavat that in Vrindavan Das Thakur's very simple, beautiful narrative style, he described little grains of rice in the big rice pot. He was invited by Shukalambar Brahmachari to receive rice in his home. And because he was so pure in his devotion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced ecstasy just tasting the rice in the house of Shukalambar Brahmachari, and bodily transformations were being exhibited just from tasting rice. And then on another occasion he had a devotee, a disciple or a follower, who was named Vijaya. And Vijaya's service was to copy religious texts. It was an assignment, just using his good handwriting to make, because there weren't printing presses, to make copies of books. And he did it with such devotion, not just good handwriting, but such devotion, that Nimai, to reciprocate with him, showed him his divine opulences. He touched his hand. And when he touched his hand, Vijaya, all of a sudden, his body erupted in ecstasy, and he was seeing the hand of the Lord with unlimited jewels and ornaments and effulgence, and he began practically floating in ecstasy. And he became like a madman. He got up and started running around like a madman. People thought he'd gone crazy. And Lord Chaitanya was just showing his mercy. I have seen, like that. And then there's this ongoing description where, in brief moments, Lord Chaitanya would exhibit the mood, and sometimes even the form and the mood, of different avatars, because the understanding scripturally is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, and Krishna is the source of all incarnations. He's the avatari, and they are all avatars. So they're all within him. So sometimes, in different, Chaitanya would exhibit those moods of Nrisingadeva and Varaha and Vamana, and start saying things and feeling things, and everyone was astounded. It was transcendentally, but it would be exhibited for some time, and then his transcendental emotion would change, and he'd come to external consciousness and become normal and say things like, did I say something strange? So in one of those situations, he was at his home at the house of Sachimata, and he was in the mood of the gopis, feeling separation from Krishna. And in that mood, he was reaching out with his arms for the gopis to comfort him and to pass the feelings of separation. So he was calling, gopi, 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 and gesturing with his arms. Just at that time, one of his former students, because he stopped teaching anymore, one of his former students just came to see him and pay respect, and he was saying, gopi, gopi. And the student said, what are you doing? It says in the scripture that if one chants the holy name of Hari, then one gets so much spiritual benefit, and nowhere does it say speaking gopi, gopi. This is, you're supposed to be a learned person and a brahmana, and this is completely unfit behavior. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, why should I say Krishna's name? He's unworthy. He sent Sita into a fire. And as Vamana, he bound up Bali Maharaj after he surrendered everything and spoke of different ways of how he's, I don't want him to have anything to do. So, get out of here. I'll just chant gopi gopi. And he said, and he picked up a stick and started hitting the ground and showing signs of anger. And the student ran from the house. And Mahaprabhu ran after him, shaking the stick, saying, catch him, catch him. And the Brahmin boy was running for his life. And Mahaprabhu went back to his house, feeling very disturbed. And then the Brahmin boy met up with the other Brahmin children. And he was out of breath and panting and saying, what happened? Why do you look so fearful? He said, you won't believe what I'm about to tell you. I'm fortunate I'm here with my life even to speak to you now. This offensive personality, one who calls himself a brahmana and doesn't even know how to properly another brahmana, was ready to hit me with a stick because I was identifying he was acting outside of what the codes of scripture teach, and he just became so angry with me. He has no respect for Brahminical culture. And then the other boys were saying, he may be the son of Jagannath Mishra, but we're come from good families too. And he may be very learned. He was our former teacher, but we have capacity for learning too. We're not going to be pushed around by this Nimai Pandit. Let us stand together, and if he comes to do something like this again, we'll give him big punishment. Because Nimai Pandit was omniscient, he knew what the speaking of these other students was going on. So he called Nityananda. I have to speak something to you privately. In front of everyone else, he said, as a physician, I made a medicine called Pipalakanda, which is supposed to remove mucus. But instead, everyone is becoming more diseased and more diseased. And Nityananda could understand, no one else could understand, but Nityananda could understand the meaning. But then Lord Chaitanya explained the meaning. He said, you know who I am. I've descended into this world to deliver the fallen souls of this age of Kali. But instead, by being controlled by one rope, they're now tied by millions of ropes because of their offenses. Simply because I'm a householder, they're not respecting me as a householder. But if I take sannyas, shave my head, remove my Brahman thread, and when there, wearing saffron cloth, no one will disrespect me. Everyone will offer their respects, and then the benefit from their offering respect will be theirs instead of this. Nityananda Prabhu, I will do whatever you say, but please understand my determination. Nityananda fell to the ground. He just looked with unblinking eyes at his dear brother, Nimai Pandit, and said, "You are the independent Supreme Lord, and we are all your servants. You can do whatever you like, you will do whatever you like. So surely this will take place." And then he just looked down at the ground. And in his mind he was thinking, "Oh, Mother Sachi, live. She has no husband, she has no other children except Nimai Pandit. And if he leaves, surely she will die." He didn't say, but he was thinking and feeling. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood his mood and reassured him, I live in the hearts of my devotees. I will never abandon my devotees. I will sustain their lives. But I must do this for the purpose of my appearance. Let us go and find Mukunda and inform Mukunda also. So they went to the house of Mukunda. And immediately, when he saw the two lords coming, Mahaprabhu told him what his intention was. "I'm going to leave Navadvip. I'm going to cut my hair. I'm going to live as a mendicant, traveling freely without any encumbrance. Please give your blessings." He was stunned. He didn't know what to say. But he knew that Mahaprabhu enjoyed his singing and his kirtan, so he said, "Just stay for a few more days and enjoy kirtan with us, and then you can do as you wish." And then he went together with Nityananda to Gadadhar Pandit. And the mood was very different. Each person that heard, the mood was very different. When Gadadhar Pandit heard, similarly he received very happily, and immediately Lord Chaitanya told his intention. He said, "How can you do that? Why don't you just kill us? What kind of religious principle is that you kill your mother and you kill your dear friends? You're our life and soul. If you leave, we'll have no life." And spoke really against. Just give up this idea. Whoever said it's a religious principle that you can't be a pure Vaishnava as a householder? Now, this is Gadadhar Pandit, who is perfectly renounced, speaking in favor of household life. Saying, the scriptures say that one nation can become pure in devotion, and by your remaining here in Navadvip, so many persons will become pure in their devotions with you, and we'll just have kirtan and hear Krishna katha together. Please give up this idea. And Mahaprabhu was hanging his head down because Gadadhar Pandit was so dear to him. He said nothing. Then he finally looked up and said, "This is something that I must do. Please understand Gadadhar. My devotees are very dear to me, and I am very dear to the devotees. We're inseparable. I reside in their hearts, and they reside in my heart. We cannot be separated. But this is part of something I must do. Please give your permission. Gadadhar Pandit couldn't say yes either. In this way, Nimai Pandit made his plan to accept sannyas. The news spread through Navadvip very quickly, and the devotee devastated. But Mahaprabhu went on, like, he just called them all, come for kirtan, and in the course of ecstatic kirtan and chanting and dancing, sometimes like how we experience if we really absorb ourselves in kirtan, your cares and troubles just fly away. So everyone forgot that this was his plan, and they were just enjoying the sankirtan pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Mukunda had requested, he remained in that way in Navadvip for a few days, and then one morning, the auspicious morning that he had planned the next that night to leave. So he informed Nityananda, this evening I shall leave. Tell just 5 people that I'm going to go, and they should in advance go to Katwa and meet me there to take part in my acceptance of sannyas. When Mother Sachi, just going back, when Mother Sachi heard the news that he was thinking to take sannyas, she didn't know how to deal with that. And she asked, Nimai, how can you leave me? In so many ways. And he spoke to her in a very, very beautiful way. He said, you are eternally my mother. And he gave examples of the you were Mother Kaushalya when I was Ram. You were Diti when I was Vamana. We have this eternal relationship, describing different personalities. And then we're never going to be separated, and in this lifetime my gift must be given, and this is the means for me to do that. We'll not be separated. Please understand that. So she didn't become happy, but her grief diminished. Then when it became the evening for her to leave, she knew the description. I'm going to read the conversation between the two of them. It's very, very beautiful. That evening, as I mentioned previously, Kolavichar Sridhar, in the evening time, brought a what's it called? A gourd. Like this pumpkin-like vegetables that grows on a vine. What's it called? Huh? Yeah, a squash, something. Something like that. You know what I'm saying. A squash, a pumpkin, a gourd, one of that kind of vegetable that had been grown on the roof of his house, and he came and brought it to give to Mahaprabhu. And because of the love of Sridhar, he accepted. He said, how is this? I'm going to be leaving, but I can't not accept it. So he gave it to Sachi, and along with milk, made a vegetable preparation, offered to their deity, and took the prasad, the last meal that he took in Navadvipa. and then took rest. And 3 hours before it was the rising of the sun, he and started walking straight for the door to leave and not come back. And Mother Sachi was seated right at the door because intuitively she knew he's leaving tonight. When Mother Sachi realized that it was time for the Lord to depart, she came and sat in the doorway. Seeing his mother, the Lord held her hands and solaced her in various ways. "You have maintained me very nicely. Because of you, I have studied and learned. Without caring a bit for your personal happiness, you have increased my pleasure throughout my life. The amount of affection you have shown at every moment is more than I can repay in millions of kalpas. Only by your mercy will I be relieved of my debt. I will remain indebted to you life after life. Please listen, dear mother. The entire creation is under the control of the Supreme Lord. No one has the power to be independent. Who can understand the Supreme Lord's will by which living entities sometimes meet and sometimes separate? Whether I leave now or after 10 days, you should not lament. I take full responsibility for both your worldly and spiritual needs." Placing his hand on Mother Saji's chest, the Lord repeatedly solaced her, saying, "I will take full care of you. I take full care of you." Again and again he said. Mother Saji quietly listened to what the Lord said. She made no reply, but simply shed incessant tears. Thus Sachi, the mother of the universe, became as grave and as quiet as Mother Earth. Who can understand the inconceivable pastimes of Krishna? The Lord then took the dust of his mother's feet on his head, and after circumambulating her, he immediately departed. In his previous conversation with Mother Sachi, another very moving exchange, he described that although I may leave the home, you will continue to be my mother in two ways. He said, there will be deity forms of me, which will be made of elements, and you are Mother Earth, so you'll be my mother in that way. And another manifestation is, my name will be chanted on the tongues of others, and the tongue is also made of earth, and so you'll also be my mother every time there's chanting of the holy name. So our relation is eternal. Please don't lament. And with that, Nimai Pandit left home. And without looking back, the commentators describe, that it was like Ram speaking to Kausalya, where she was saying, "Don't go," and he's saying, "I must go." Of course, the reason was different, but "I must go." And that's one of the six opulences of the personality of Godhead, is absolute quality of renunciation or detachment. At the same time, completely affectionate, completely loving. As he said to his mother, "I will take care of you in all respects." So without turning back, he just continued walking. And he hung up and headed in this direction for Katwa. When he reached here, it was morning time. And the others that were supposed to be assembled were already here. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Mukunda, have kirtan. And the exhibition of kirtan was wild. And for hours, the kirtan was with ecstatic chanting. And the persons in Katwa had never seen something quite like that, just endless kirtan. In Keshava Bharati, who was to become the sannyas guru, was just amazed at that display of devotion, ecstatic head from Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So when the kirtan ended, Mahaprabhu came before Keshava Bharati and made the request, kindly give me Krishna. I am in this dark material world, deprived of my real position and real happiness. Please give me Krishna. And Keshava Bharati's reply was, having seen what I have just seen, I can understand you're not just an ordinary living being. You are the personality of Godhead, and personality of Godhead need in the form of initiation or anything. But you're acting in such a way to instruct others what is required for them to progress in spiritual life, so that you have given me this little service to do. Surely I'll be happy to serve you in that way. So the plan was made for the initiation to take place. The initiation was planned for the next morning. So underneath this tree over here, Madhu was summoned to cut the hair of Mahaprabhu, and he didn't want to cut Mahaprabhu's hair. That was his profession. He knew how to do it. But he didn't want to cut Mahaprabhu's hair. And Mahaprabhu insisted, no, you must. And if repeated insistence, Madhu tried. But he was too much reluctant, and Madhu was in such an ecstatic mood, he wouldn't sit still. And it took the whole day. And at the end of the day, when it was done, people in the whole vicinity were crying, especially the ladies. What a horrible this is, sannyas. Why is that even there in the Vedas? And others were saying, poor Mother Sachi, this is her only shelter, and how will she live? And others were saying, you know, stop it. Somehow, let's do something to stop this. This is not right. And they were all attached to seeing him with his long, beautiful hair, and they couldn't imagine that this was taking place. But finally, it was completed. So Mahaprabhu got up from the tree and came over here. The yajna was performed. Chandrasekhar Acharya had everything ready, and just like we saw yesterday evening, the rituals were observed. When it came time for his mantra to be received from Keshava Bharati, Mahaprabhu leaned over and said, I had a dream last night, and one sadhu came in the dream and told me that this is a very special sannyas mantra. Could you tell me if this is a valid mantra that I received in my dream or dreamt about? So he leaned over and spoke the mantra in the ear of Keshava Bharati, initiating him in the mantra. He said, oh, this is a very good mantra. I'll give you that one. Right over there, where that shrine is. And this is the evening time. Then, ecstatic kirtan. Immediately he stood up. Kirtan. And the kirtan was out of this world. And Mahaprabhu came and embraced Keshava Bharati, who dropped his danda and began dancing ecstatically with all this. And behaving like a little boy, just dancing and dancing and dancing, experiencing ecstatic love of God. Because the title, Bharati, this is now some detail, but the biography of Keshava Bharati indicates that somewhere along the line, he was initiated as a Vaishnava. Some say he was initiated by Madhavendra Puri. And he was a householder, and he had two sons. So he was living for some time as a householder, conducting his life in that way. But sannyas, not commonly received in the Vaishnava tradition, rather it was more commonly at that time received by the followers of Shankaracharya. And there are three principal Saraswat, Bharati, and Puri amongst the Shingari Math Shankaracharya followers. And Keshava Bharati had the name Keshava and was then given the sannyas name Keshava Bharati. So then there's all these rules of different names that one can receive. So essentially, it's like he was a Vaishnava, but not of the same. Something like what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, but not exactly. Accepting sannyas, because the purpose of his accepting sannyas was so that people accept his position as sannyas and offer him respect as a sannyasi, instead of offering him criticism because he's just a householder that is singing Gopi Gopi. So for the deliverance of others, he accepted sannyas. And in fact, this is one of the principal glories of the pastime, something that we can imbibe from the whole Leela, is he was ready to sacrifice everything for others. Now, he's the personality of Godhead. What does he need to sacrifice? Anything for anybody. But in the role of a devotee, he was exhibiting a qualified devotee is ready to subordinate their desire for the welfare of others and face the welfare of others in that higher position. So his own position was he had everything. He was Mr. Sler, respected by everybody for his scholarship, even defeating Keshava Kashmiri. Everyone understood he's the superlative scholarly person. In a Brahmana family with a most loving mother and a very devoted and chaste and beautiful young wife, and whatever one might want from the position of a qualified Brahmana, it was his. And he left it to shave his head and travel as a mendicant and have nothing and for the sake of the welfare of others, so he could go here and there throughout the land and give the holy name and give love of God. This is the meaning or the import behind his acceptance of sannyas. Sacrifice, lila-wise, sacrifice for others for the benefit of others. To sacrifice his own comfort and happiness for the benefit of others. That's the life of sannyas, and that's the life of a Vaishnava, whether sannyas or not a sannyas. When it came time for travel, as a sannyasi, just want to read this because it's really nice. Just to give you an idea of what sannyas at that time meant. Here we go. On the way, the Lord tested everyone by asking, "What assets do you have with you? All of you, tell me frankly whether anyone has given anything to you for the journey." They then replied, "Oh Lord, who has the power to bring anything without your permission?" On hearing their reply, the Lord was greatly satisfied. Thereafter, he explained some of the truths regarding this topic. The Lord said, "I am greatly satisfied that none of you took anything from anyone. If you are destined to receive some eatables, you will certainly obtain them, even if you are in the forest." The mood of a sannyasi. "If the Supreme Lord does not set aside some food for a person, he will not eat, even if he is the son of a king. Without the Lord's sanction, one may not be able to eat even food, or maybe suddenly quarreling with someone. In an angry mood, he may say, 'I will not eat anything today.' He may even touch his hand to his head and sweat to that effect. Otherwise, one may have all varieties of eatables, but he may be suddenly a flicker. How can he eat when suffering the pain of fever? Therefore, the will of the Supreme Lord prevails. Krishna has supplied food for the three worlds. If he desires, one will certainly obtain it." In this way, the Lord personally taught everyone. One who has faith in his words obtains happiness. Sometime later, there was this incident where one devotee was traveling with Lord Chaitanya, and he did Madhukari to receive some items for Lord Chaitanya's needs. And he made an offering to them, and the next day they were traveling and said, "You can go perform Madhukari." And he said, "No, I still have something from yesterday." And he said, "Oh, I can understand that you are Grihastha. So you just stay here and get married. I'm going to go now." And he said, "All of your devotees are renunciates, and I was only sadhu." He said, "Yes, but this saving something like that is the mentality of a householder, not the mentality of a renunciate. You're a householder. You stay here and get married." And he left. Forget the name of the devotee. He said, "The devotee got married under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Govinda Ghosh." Thank you. So Mahaprabhu was strict. Like, not mild. He was strict as a sannyasi. For many purposes, to instruct those that may, in this age of Kali, take the order of sannyas, become fools, dancing dolls in the hands of the material energy and act foolishly. But also so that when he would exhibit his appreciation for the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis of Vrindavan, his strictness, his knowledge were not in question. It wasn't a mere sentiment or some kind of pretentious, foolish, worldly enjoyer position. He was truly renounced as a sannyasi. And truly learned it, not just a sentimentalist. So these two features together helped to bring the proper understanding and appreciation of his teaching of the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna, and particularly the residents, the gopis. Tan ended that night after his sannyas initiation, and he informed Keshava Bharati, "I would like to go to the forest and find Krishna. May I have your permission?" He said, "Let me go with you." "Let's go." And so they set off. Others also wanted to go, and Lord Chaitanya said to them, particularly Chandrasekhar Acharya, you don't come with us. You go back to Navadvip and you inform everyone that I've accepted the order of sannyas, and I'm entering into the forest and looking for Krishna." And he left, and they fell to the ground unconscious. as soon as they regained consciousness, they fulfilled his order, went straight to Navadvip to give the message. When he gave the message to everyone, they intuitively knew, but when they heard it was true, they were smashed. We narrated this about Advaita Acharya when he heard, "What is the if? I am going to drown myself in the Ganges, and if I try to do it during the day, everyone will try to stop me, so I'll do it in the middle of the night when no one can stop me." And Shiva said, "Exactly my sentiment, I'll come with you." And everyone was saying the same thing, "Let's go drown ourselves in the Ganges." And as they were charging off of the Ganges to go collectively drown themselves, a voice came from the sky saying, "No, no. Don't do that. You will be again with Mahaprabhu in 2 to 3 days and enjoy pastimes together with him just as before. Please steady yourselves and don't take this drastic action." So hearing the voice, they became pacified and went back to their homes. So meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya is heading into the forest, and for some days they travel together. Then in the middle of the night, "I just want to go look for Krishna alone." So he went alone, without saying anything to anybody. And he was calling Krishna's name deep into the forest in deep tones of voice. And when everyone woke up and saw him not there, they were happy, and they heard off in the distance some voice. So they just followed the voice and they found him. Deep in the mood of separation from Krishna, and love for Krishna in separation, this is Mahaprabhu. Then suddenly, as they were traveling, going in the eastern or westerly direction, heading towards Vrindavan, without any explanation, he started heading due east. And he came in a delirious state, practically, to the bank of the Ganges. And as he came to the Ganges, he was thinking, "I'm in Vrindavan." And he saw some cowherd boys, and they were, heard some of them saying Krishna's name. And he thought, "I'm in Vrindavan." And then he saw Lord Nityananda by the bank of the Ganges. "Lord Nityananda, what are you doing in Vrindavan?" And he said, "Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. And just see, here's Advaita Acharya. He's coming by boat also to join us." He said, it started coming to a little external consciousness and said, "Wait a minute. How did Advaita Acharya know where we were in Vrindavan?" He said, "I think you're deceiving me. Are we in Vrindavan or where are we?" And Advaita Acharya said, it's not untrue. On this side of the river is the Jamuna, that side is the, because the two meet somewhere upstream. "And because you're here, please come with me. I've got an extra set of clothing for you, and we'll go together. We can feed you prasad. Come with me to Shantipur." So they went together to Shantipur at Advaita Acharya's request. All the devotees here was sent. "He's in Shantipur." And thousands of devotees came to Shantipur to see Advaita Acharya. Mother Sachi was also informed. Chaitanya Bhagavat says that she had been fasting for 12 days, and her body had become very thin, and she was in just unspeakable anxiety. But when she heard that her son was now at the house of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur, she was taken there by the devotees in a respectful manner to see her son. And then this wonderful leela took place just after his sannyas, where the devotees had the opportunity to be together with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for some number of days, 10 days. The request was made by Mother Saji, please just stay here. You've taken sannyas. Please just stay here for allow me to feed you for 10 days. And everyone wanted to cook for him, but Saji said, please just allow me alone to cook. And she cooked for her son. And this is where she made the request. Please don't go to Vrindavan, go to Puri instead. Krishna's in Puri also. And if you go to Puri, then sometimes I'll get word of you. Devotees don't go to Vrindavan from Bengal so much as they go every year to Puri. There's this natural connection between the two places. And sometimes maybe you'll come to Navadvip to take bath in the Ganga, and then I can see you. So you're whatever you say, I'm compelled. I've made such a rash, abrupt move to take sannyas and left you, and surely I'll do whatever you say. Part of his leela. So he went to Puri instead. And for some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained in Puri. He made travel, going again to Navadvip on the pretext of going to Vrindavan with many, many, many devotees. We'll hear some more about that as we continue. There again, Mother Sachi saw him. And then he made some travel going back, and he passed through here in Katwa, where he had taken sannyas, and went back to remain in Jagannath Puri for a while, then went to Vrindavan and came back and remained in Puri for the balance of his time in this world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. The Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.